Welcome back, Craftlings, to the Minecraft Short Stories Podcast. This episode today, we have an original story by me, Kamels, and this story is called The Endless Journey. The name for the story comes because in it, Steve learns a lesson that there's always another adventure to be had, so it is an endless journey of doing adventures. That's where the name comes from. And talking about endless, this story is 3,000 words, which makes it the same length as the most two-part stories I have. This is almost exactly the same amount of words inside Escapade in the Outer End, part 1 and 2 together. So as you can tell from the length of this episode, this is quite the long story. So just some things you guys need to know beforehand. I'm sure you guys are smart enough to figure this out through the context of the story, but enchantments are enhancements to the weapon rather than having this Minecraft enchanting system. It is just an enhancement, it kind of an add-on to a weapon. And then also in this story, the recovery compass, which you find inside ancient cities, it leads you to the latest place where you died. In this story, they're going to leave Steve to the ancient city because Steve has never died, so I took a little bit of creative liberty there. If you want to hear more about that, or about the previous iterations of the story, or about the background to the story, that is episode 8 of the Minecraft Short Stories Prologue, which is the podcast available for patrons of any tier. The link is inside the description. So, I hope you guys enjoy this story, and let's get right into it. The Endless Journey. Steve kept a quick pace through the birch forest, scanning for anything of note. A dark hole in the ground caused attention, but was quickly dismissed when it was revealed as a shallow depression. His armor clanked as he brushed past limbs, and the sun cast a red glow across the landscape as it set, reducing his visibility. In the darkest places of this world, undead creatures such as zombies and skeletons would appear to attack players, perhaps to try and avenge themselves for death. Steve didn't fear the night. He was protected, so he kept searching. A zombie crossed in front of Steve's path, but before it could even mutter a groan, his sword expertly ended its undead existence. The beast burst to light as it fell, one of the enchantments placed upon the diamond blade taking effect. The light of the fire revealed another zombie stumbling towards him. When I had drawn close enough for Steve to see the two black pits of its eyes, he slashed with his sword, aiming for the undead's chest. The beast made a clumsy attempt at an attack as the sword whistled through the air, its arm inadvertently blocking the blade. The zombie gurgled in annoyance as the diamond struck it. Pulling back, it stumbled forward suddenly, its fist moved with a surprising speed and accuracy in retaliation. It struck him in the side with more force than seemed possible from the rotting body. However, Steve barely felt it through his netherite chest plate. The zombie stumbled backwards, gurgling and groaning, both fists now useless. By striking the armor, it had activated one of the plate's enchantments, a hard-to-obtain enhancement called Thorns that would repel any attack. The combination of that and his armor, a full set of enchanted netherite, the second strongest substance known besides bedrock, made Steve nearly impenetrable. Steve dispatched the wounded zombie with a quick swipe and continued onwards. The moon gave a small amount of light, enough to continue his search, though the rocks and limbs proved much harder to avoid. The forest momentarily grew sparser, and Steve stopped, rifled through a satchel at his side, and pulled out a paper map. Just enough light was present for the sheet to be discernible. It showed an undetailed sketch of what looked to be the general area he was in. A bright red X in the upper left-hand corner served as the obvious focal point. Steve took out his compass and noted that he was 300 blocks too far to the right. Steve had purchased the map from a cartographer and was following it, looking for the dungeon to which it led. Dungeons were one of the many oddities originating from a long-gone race, full of treasures and danger. Steve was sure they held more secrets than had yet been revealed. Ever since Steve had defeated the Great Dragon of the End, his life had become monotonous. The adventures he once had were nearly becoming legends, but Steve still decided to live alone and pursue his own goals, one of which now was to find forgotten and unknown treasure. Steve repacked his satchel and started heading in the direction the map showed. The moon rose higher, and he could hear the branches creaking softly in the light breeze as he worked his way deeper into the expansive woods. Suddenly, the creaking of a bowstring, not sounding unlike the rustling limbs, broke the tranquility. An arrow impaled itself into the birch tree beside Steve with a resonant thunk. He caught sight of the perpetrator, a skeleton peeking out of a dark cave opening, right where the map led him. Steve charged at the skeleton and prepared to swing, when another skull appeared in the opening. Both skeletons had bows in their hands, and they began to shoot. Steve didn't have a face covering, so most of his efforts went to keeping the sharp tips away. The shafts made a staccato bang as they struck his armor relentlessly. He was in no danger of being dented. Steve slowly worked his way to the cave opening, weathering the tireless barrage. The skeletons took a second to reload, and he had his chance. He rushed in, and bones soon covered the stone floor. Breathing deeply from his attack, Steve looked into the dark maw of the cave. He knew without looking, the map led to this point, but not past that. He would have to find the dungeon himself. Before he strode into the pitch darkness, Steve took out a torch from his satchel and lit it. With torch held aloft, the dark shadows contorting around the illumination, he traveled into the cave. The cave wasn't especially large at any point, but it was long. It slanted steadily downward, and Steve had to constantly monitor his footing lest he trip. The undead were ever present, and giant spiders loved to try and drop on him from the walls and ceiling. Steve effortlessly defended himself, but his arms were growing sluggish. As the mobs continued to attack, he grew anxious about finding the dungeon. The map hadn't been cheap, and a day's journeying had already been spent to find this cave. Steve was on good terms with the cartographer who had sold him the map, and he believed she wouldn't have knowingly given him a false one. Anyway, all the maps for the ancient structures come from the ancient structures, so it wouldn't have been her fault, Steve reasoned. The cave eventually reached the deep slate layer. Steve didn't have too much experience with the darker stone variant, as it was only found in the deepest reaches of the underground, before bedrock. The dark pellet created a more ominous atmosphere in the tunnel. This block was much harder to mine through, but down here, diamonds were more plentiful. Steve rounded a corner, torch held in front of him, and stepped on something that crunched underfoot. Looking down, a light brown patch of dried moss stood out on the dark rock. With a new light in his eyes, Steve began searching for more with vigor. He knew, where there is moss, there is a dungeon. After a quick search, he found more of the moss by an unassuming wall. Baking up one of the dried plants, Steve inspected it. This looks like lush cave moss, he realized. If it was indeed that, then it must be from either a dungeon or a stronghold. When the ancient builders constructed these structures, they had accidentally, most likely accidentally, tracked in some moss from the plant-filled lush caves. Lush caves were deep underground, sometimes even in the deep slate layer, but full of life, from the statuesque dripleaf plants to the bright green moss exclusively found in them. Steve unpacked his pick and took an initial swing, the diamond head biting into the deep slate like it was ice. He smiled. The enchantments would speed up the process. Taking another swing, he began tunneling into the wall. The process went smoothly, and he made quick progress with his practice swings. Before too long, his diamond head bent into a different texture. He moved his torch close to the newly cut stone. Finally, Steve said aloud, relieved, it was a section of cobblestone, dead moss interwoven in the cracks. It was undoubtedly the dungeon. Chipping away at the stone around the hole, he carved a path in. Stepping into the dungeon, Steve was met by a sight he had seen many times before. A small dark room, smelling of decay and now full of dust after his rough break-in. Noticeably, a black cage as large as a block, 1 meter by 1 meter, lay in the middle of the room. As he stepped into the chamber, a fire automatically lit inside it, and a small replica of a zombie began spinning quickly within the black mesh. The small zombie was unnaturally intricate, its ragged flesh visible in minute detail. It seemed almost alive. This cage was a defense of the ancient race, and one of their many secrets. How it was constructed and how it worked may never be rediscovered. With a spurt of smoke, the zombie nearly identical to the spinning one appeared on the opposite side of the room. Steve lurched into motion. Swinging his sword, he deftly sliced into the undead. It fell to the floor in a blaze. Steve turned, drawing out his pick, prepared to destroy the spawner, when a glint of reflected light to his right caught his eye. Guessing it was a dropped ingot or the like, he inspected it after the spawner contraption was dismantled. It was something he'd never seen before. It was a black compass, swirling lines of cyan and navy on the edges, and a glowing arrow pointing to the southeast. Taking out his usual compass, still astounded by his discovery, Steve compared the needle's directions. The blue compass-looking object didn't have any cardinal points, but as he turned it to try and line it up northwards, the pointer moved and stayed in its original position. Unless the world of Minecraft had magically flipped polarities, this compass-looking object was not a compass at all. Steve was filled with excitement. Where was it trying to direct him? Taking just enough time to examine the dungeon's single wooden chest, Steve rushed from the structure. Backtracking through the cave system wasn't difficult, and he soon found himself walking into the forest, the blue and black compass-like object clutched in his hands. Steve emerged from the cave along with the sun, so he immediately started his journey to find where the device led him. The pointer directed him to his left, and he started walking that direction, monitoring the device to make sure he kept on track. Steve eventually left the forest and entered a taiga biome. The tall taiga trees with dark, dense leaves created plenty of dark spots for undead foes to appear in. Steve was kept constantly vigilant throughout his travels. After crossing the taiga, he trekked through the tall grasses of the plains. The air grew steadily chillier as he walked for days on the flat ground, sleeping occasionally. Eventually, the green of the grass was covered by the white of snow. His armor retained warmth well, and he wasn't worried about freezing, but trudging through the deep snow was exhausting. Every night, he would be so exhausted he almost couldn't stand. But still, he would find the strength to search for shelter to start a fire. After the drudgery of the snow biome, he was met by another forest. Still, the needle pointed onwards. Jumping over a fallen log, Steve looked up at the mountain looming in the sky before him. Just a few hundred more blocks, he told himself. He had been looking at this mountain day and night while he made his way towards it. It felt like a year's journey, but Steve finally reached the base of the mountain. The monolith of rock towered hundreds of blocks over Steve's head. Looking down at his ancient device, the needle pointed straight ahead at the mountain. Steve somehow knew this mountain was his destination. It just felt right. Going up to the base, he began his ascent. The mountain was tall, but also not very steep. When it became too vertical for anything but climbing, Steve would search for another path. His armor was too heavy for him to climb in. Steve regularly glanced at his compass device. Steve's heart leapt in excitement when he was making his way up a slope and the needle moved to continue to point in a direction beside him. Quickly repositioning himself to travel in that direction, he brought him to a small, flat, snowy grove between some spires. Looking down at the blue compass, Steve knew he was in the right place. The luminescent needle led him directly to this grove, and when he had entered it, it began spinning rapidly clockwise. The grove was a small section of flatland partially covered with snow, with occasional tufts of grass or flowers growing up. It was completely bare of anything noteworthy. Steve took out his compass again. The needle was still spinning. With a spark of realization, Steve took out a shovel. Leaning down, he began to remove the dirt. After removing a couple of dozen blocks, he could see the stone beneath. Taking his pick from a satchel, Steve started mining downwards. He would destroy one block, move on to it, and then remove the one he had previously been standing on. Mining into the mountain was hard work. Even with his pickaxe's enhancements, the cold stone was tiresome to mine through. After hours of monotonous activity, he reached a cave situated hundreds of blocks under the mountain's peaks. It came as quite a surprise. He mined a block, and a great space was revealed under it. Looking down, a vast cavern lay before him. Steve immediately noticed the most peculiar thing about it. Covering the walls and floors was a strange dark blue and black substance, small spots of cyan glimmering in the darkness. It looked just like his compass. This had to be his destination. Steve was around 12 blocks above the cavern floor, so he easily dropped down through the hole he had mined. Landing with a loud thud and a clinking of armor, Steve was instantly assaulted with an unearthly wail. He whirled around, looking for the cause of the noise. A block made of what seemed to be bone and the strange glowing substance was the perpetrator. As the wail trailed off, the cavern shook. The wail hadn't sounded human. It sounded unearthly, like a gas scream, but if it was slower and higher pitched. Taking a step toward the block, his boot made a slight sound. An unnoticed plant-like object, also dark blue and with waving tentacles on its top, lit up. The original bone-looking block screamed once more. Steve felt sick with anticipation and apprehension. How could he move? Any slight sound would set off the screamer block. Once again, after the wail, the cavern shook slightly. Steve got the feeling it was warning him. Steve had an idea. If he could stop his armor from creaking, then he could make his way over to the screamer and maybe disable it, like he did with the spawner. He crouched down and began making his slow, methodical way. Suddenly, in a cruel twist of fate, a skeleton appeared from over a ridge. Steve watched in horror as it notched an arrow, tightened its bowstring, and launched the projectile. The arrow landed right on his shoulder, creating a ring that reverberated throughout the silent cavern. Instantly, the screamer wailed for a third time. It sounded angry. Steve's vision darkened as the cavern shook unrelentingly. A new sound was present, and Steve turned his head to find it. When he did, he saw the most horrifying thing he had ever seen in all his travels. A ginormous beast was lifting itself out of the ground. It was almost twice Steve's height, with a hulking chest and long arms. It was blue like the substance it stood upon, but with bone colored, or maybe it was bone, decoration all over its body. Disturbingly, it had no eyes. Steve stayed down, having immediately noticed its lack of eyesight and hoping it wouldn't be able to find him. The skeleton continued to move towards Steve, its bones rattling and clinking together loudly. Lumbering over to the skeleton, the beast lifted its arms for a swing and then brought them down. Bones were sent flying across the cavern with the force of it. The beast didn't seem satisfied. It lifted its head in the air and sniffed. Steve realized with dread that it could smell him. He stood up and hurriedly tried to locate an exit. He found one. A small cave opening led to a different section of the mountain. Unfortunately, it was just past the beast, who was now slowly turning in Steve's direction, still sniffing the cavern air. Pushing aside his fear, Steve rushed upon the beast. He had conquered the Indragon. He had defeated raids, raided fortresses, and slain many undead. His first attack didn't go so well. The sword connected, but didn't do any slicing, just thudded against the dark blue skin. From this close, Steve could smell the fungal stench of the beast, a mix of the mycelium of the mushroom biome and the rotten smell of the undead. The beast had found its prey. It roared, shaking the cavern with the power of it, and then descended upon Steve. Steve tried to stay out of its way and gain some sword swings, but the beast was surprisingly fast. It connected as he tried to sidestep, and his armor crumpled underneath its blow. He was thrown far backwards, landing with a thud next to another screamer block. He had landed right next to the cave entrance, which offered escape. Steve recovered his sword and then drew out his bow. The arrows he launched merely struck the beast and then fell to the floor. Wounded from the single blow of the beast, Steve knew it was time to retreat. Still, he drew his sword to charge in. The monster didn't give him a chance. It roared, even louder than before, but this time a sonic wave of energy crashed into Steve, throwing him backwards into the cave opening. He finally resolved to escape with his life. Hurrying into the cave, he could hear the beast roar a last time, and then burrow back into the ground. Steve eventually emerged from the cave onto the lower slope of the mountain. Instead of feeling defeated, he felt victorious. His encounter with the unknown hulking monster had reminded him that there were always more adventures. Thank you all for listening, and also thank you for holding on while I finish the story. It would have taken less time if I hadn't written a 3,000-word story to read. And also, I hope you guys could understand the story. I think it makes sense read aloud, but sometimes written works make less sense read aloud than read in your head. And if you want to read my stories, written versions of all my stories are available for the storyteller tier of patrons. So that's an option. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this story. And I hope you guys will join me inside the next episode. See you then.